जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लब गिरी मन चारी यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तेरा बन चरे जय रमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवन दहरे जन रंजन जामुन तेरा बन चरे जामुन तेरा बन चरे श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर गोपाल गोपीनाथ श्याम सुंदर कुंज की रघु ग्रंथ की जय ग्रंथ राज गौर प्रेम All glories to the Lord, Sri 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 Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In the meantime, we'll leave all the doors open and there's fresh air. All right, so, yes, please, thank you. So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto, fifth chapter, verses 35, 36, and 37. I'm not clear, I mean, there's two short purports, but this is some considerable information to cover, so we're just going to chant through the Sanskrit together. I don't know if they'll all go up, and I'll leave that up to our esteemed Karnapura to juggle the screens. Sa eva purushas tasmad addam nirbhagda nirgata sahasravangri bhavaksha sahasranam shirshavam yashye hava yavarlokam kalpayanti manishinam katya adibir ad katya adibir ada shapta shaktovam jagadam divi purushasya mukam brahma shatram etasya bahava urva vashya bhagavata padyam sudro vrajayatam. Sa, he the Lord, Eva, himself, Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tasmat, from within the universe, Anga, Hiranyagarbha, Nirbhidya, dividing, Nirgata, came out, Sahasra, thousands, Uru, thighs, Angri, legs, Bahu, arms, Aksha, eyes, Sahasra, thousands of, Anana, mouths, Sirshavan, with heads also, Yasya, whose, Iha, in the universe, Av Yavayi, by the limbs of the body, Lokan, all the planets, Kalpa Yanti, imagine, Manishina, great philosophers, Kati Adibi, down from the waist, Adha, downwards, Shapta, seven systems, Sapta Urdvan, and seven systems upward, Jaghani Adibi, front portion. Purushasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukham, mouth, Brahma, is the Brahmanas, Kshatram, the royal order, Etasya, of him, Bahava, the arms, Ujvo, the thighs, Vaishya, are the mercantile men, Bhagavata, of the Personality of Godhead, Padbhyam, from the legs, Sudra, the laborer class, Vaijayanta, became manifest. Translation to all three verses. The Lord, Mahavishnu, although lying in the causal ocean, came out of it, and dividing himself as Hiranyagarbha, he entered into each universe and assumed the Virat Rupa, with thousands of legs, arms, mouths, heads, etc. Great philosophers imagine that the complete planetary systems in the universe are displayed, are displays of the upper and lower limbs of the universal body of the Lord. The Brahmanas represent his mouth, the Kshatriyas his arms, the Vaishyas his thighs, and the Sudras are born of his legs. All three purports as well. The expansions of the planetary systems within each and every universe are situated in the different parts of the Virata Rupa, the universal form of the Lord, and they are described as follows. The word Kalpayanti, or imagine, is significant. The Virat universal form of the Absolute is an imagination of the speculative philosophers who are unable to adjust to the eternal two-handed form of Lord Sri Krishna. Although the universal form, as imagined by the great philosophers, is one of the features of the Lord, it is more or less imaginary. It is said that the seven upper planetary systems are situated above the waist of the universal form, whereas the lower planetary systems are situated below his waist. Seven and seven, thus the 14 planetary systems. The idea impressed herein is that the Supreme Lord is conscious of every part of his body, and nowhere in the creation is there anything beyond his control. All living beings are stated to be parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and how they are so is explained in this final verse. The four divisions of human society, namely the intelligent class, the Brahmanas, the administrative class, the Kshatriyas, the mercantile class, the Vaishyas, and the laborer class, the Sudras, are all in different parts of the body of the Lord. As such, no one is different from the Lord. The mouth of the body and legs of the body are non-different constitutionally, but the mouth or the head of the body is qualitatively more important than the legs. At the same time, the mouth, the legs, the arms, and the thighs are all component parts of the body. These limbs of the body of the Lord are meant to serve the complete whole. The mouth is meant for speaking and eating. The arms are meant for the protection of the body. The legs are meant for carrying the body. And the waist of the body is meant for maintaining the body. The intelligent class of society, therefore, must speak on behalf of the body, as well as accept foodstuffs to satisfy the hunger of the body. The hunger of the Lord is to accept the fruits of sacrifice. The brahmanas, or the intelligent class, must be very expert in performing such sacrifices, and the subordinate classes must join in such sacrifices. To speak for the Supreme Lord means to glorify the Lord by means of propagating the knowledge of the Lord as it is, broadcasting the factual nature of the Lord and the factual position of all other parts of the whole body. The brahmanas, therefore, are required to know the Vedas, or the ultimate source of knowledge. Veda means knowledge, and anta means the end of it. According to Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is the source of everything, aham sarvasya prabhava. And thus, the end of all knowledge, Vedanta, is to know the Lord, to know our relationship with the Lord, and to act according to that relationship only. The parts of the body are related to the body. Similarly, the living being must know his own relationship with the Lord. The human life is especially meant for this purpose, namely, to know the factual relationship of every living being with the Supreme Lord. Without knowing this relationship, the human life is spoiled. The intelligent class of men, the brahmanas, are therefore especially responsible for broadcasting this knowledge of our relationship with the Lord and leading the general mass of people to the right path. The administrative class is meant for protecting the living beings so that they can serve this purpose. The mercantile class is meant for producing food grains and distributing to the complete human society so that the whole population is given a chance to live comfortably and discharge the duties of human life. The mercantile class is also required to give protection to the cows in order to get sufficient milk and milk products, which alone can give the proper health and intelligence to maintain a civilization perfectly meant for knowledge of the ultimate truth. And the laborer class, who are neither intelligent nor powerful, can help by physical services to the other classes and thus be benefited by their cooperation. Therefore, the universe is a complete unit in relationship with the Lord. And without this relationship with the Lord, the whole human society is disturbed and is without any peace and prosperity. Therefore, it is confirmed in the Vedas, Brahmano syamakadasid bahurajanyakritaha. Om Jnana Tamaram Dasya Janam Jana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmelidam Nanatasmai Sri Guru Venamaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandum Lam Jayate Girin Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Nidhari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Sanyavaripaskicha Desha Karma Avancha Kalpatri Vyasta Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Chaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Suyadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. So these three verses, the purports here, Prabhupada really packs a lot of information in here, essential principles that he spent a considerable amount of his preaching trying to establish. So in this chapter of the sacred Srimad Bhagavatam, it is, we've been reading, looking, and studying at for the last 6 weeks, and with almost another week to go on this, just this one chapter. And as the chapter started, it was pretty basic and easily understandable, some very common subject matters. And then around the 15th verse, details of the process of creation, the elements of creation, and the personalities involved in this process of creation all begin to manifest themselves. Now, this is not the only time, or even the last time, that this subject matter is covered in the Bhagavatam. It's actually only the beginning. We're here in the second canto. In the third canto, it delves even deeper into the process and the principles of creation. And then again in the fifth canto, it goes even deeper still. And later in the eighth canto, there's an entire chapter devoted just to the managerial affairs of how the universe functions and goes on. So this is all a very, very important topic for us to understand. And we should be well versed in it and at least have some rudimentary understanding of how all this takes place. In this final purport, Prabhupada talks about Brahmins being knowledgeable and being able to guide and educate and share the Vedas with the general mass of people. This means we have to know what we're sharing. It's a wonderful opportunity, wonderful time when Prabhupada was speaking, class I was listening to recently, and he was posing. You know these books. Actually, he had asked for a particular verse and no one seemed to know it, and he became a little concerned. You read these books? He said, you're going out in the street, someone says, oh, you're selling the books, do you read them? No, no, we have no time to read them, we're just selling them. Well, what is in them? Oh, we do not know, we don't read them, we're simply selling them. Prabhupada said, no, it shouldn't be like that, you must study the books. Then, of course, on another occasion, more than once, Prabhupada said, we should know these books like a lawyer knows his law books. And in this way, we can quote from different passages. So this is the importance of understanding even what may appear to not be such an important topic. Now, in various lectures, Srila Prabhupada would like to point out and dismiss those who only had a desire for hearing Radha Krishna Leela and would show disdain towards Kurukshetra Leela. Prabhupada stresses how important both of these are and how one is not superior to the other in the ultimate sense. We may have our Madhurya understanding of the relationship of Radha and Krishna, but this doesn't mean that it dismisses or makes insignificant the pastimes of Krishna with Arjuna. All of these pastimes of the Lord are equally potent. All of these pastimes of the Lord are equally necessary, and all of them are equally instructive as to the living entity establishing their relationship with Krishna. So now there's a good point to this end in the fact that the earliest mention we find of this Hiranyagarbha form, as it's mentioned in this first verse, is in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10. Says in the purport there. Here the Lord is giving a genealogical synopsis of the universal population. Brahma is the original creature born out of the energy of the Supreme Lord, who is known as Hiranyagarbha. And from Brahma, all the seven great sages, and before them, four other great sages, namely Sanaka, Sananda, Sunanta, and Sunat Kumar, and the 14 Manus are all manifested. All these 25 great sages are known as the patriarchs of the living entities all over the universe. There are innumerable universes and innumerable planets within each universe, and each planet is full of population of different varieties. All of them are born from these 25 patriarchs. Brahma underwent penance for 1,000 years of the demigods before he realized by the grace of Krishna how to create. Then from Brahma came the four sages, then Rudra, then the seven sages, and in this way all the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are born out of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma is known as Pitamaha, the grandfather, and Krishna is known as Pra-Pitamaha, the father of the grandfather. So even in our fundamental understanding of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada inserts the importance of this process of creation and understanding it, mentioning the form of the Lord that's talked about in today's verse, Hiranyagarbha, and how all the different personalities come from and are disseminated from this Hiranyagarbha form. So we see this was considered by Prabhupada to be an important enough subject that early in the Gita, he's mentioning this. And the Gita is, for all practical purposes, the first book most of us have come in contact with. It is our fundamental understanding of the process of becoming Krishna conscious. And for Prabhupada to bring this point up so early means that it has significance. We shouldn't overlook it. Similarly, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada talks about those who are worshippers of Hiranyagarbha's form and what their destination is. Now, this was previously covered in the second chapter, earlier in this canto, wherein Prabhupada says, anyone who can reach Brahmaloka, or Satyaloka, by dint of spiritual perfection and practice is qualified to obtain three different types of perfections. One, who has perfected a specific planet, one who has attained a specific planet by dint of pious activities, attains places in terms of his comparative pious activities. The second one who has attained a place by dint of Virat or Hiranyagarbha worship, is liberated along with the liberation of Lord Brahma. But, and this is a very important distinction Prabhupada makes here, but one who attains the place by dint of devotional service is specifically mentioned in these verses in relationship to how he can penetrate into the different coverings of the universe and thus ultimately disclose his spiritual identity in the absolute atmosphere of supreme existence. So he gives three examples of reaching this spiritual perfection. But the one that is the most important, the one that is significant above others, is the process of executing devotional service and obtaining our identity in the spiritual world. So this is a very important point. Now, Prabhupada continues on in the third canto, speaking about the worshippers of Hiranyagarbha. He says, persons who are worshippers of Hiranyagarbha, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, do not directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vaikuntha. So we might think, well, this is the form of the Lord, he's responsible for all of creation, I'll worship this form of Hiranyagarbha. And there are many worshippers that do this. But Prabhupada points out, they don't reach the Vaikuntha planets. They remain within this universe on Satyaloka or other higher planetary systems until the end of a life of Brahma. Then with Brahma, they're elevated to the spiritual kingdom. Such a wonderful process Mahaprabhu has given us. Prabhupada said, I see no reason why my disciples cannot go back to home, back to Godhead in this life. By the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, engaging in devotional service, and refraining from the four sinful activities. These activities alone, And of course, in studying the Vedas and understanding the instructions of the books, these are principles enough to take us back to the spiritual world. Whereas one who may worship the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu in his Hiranyagarbha form doesn't get to do that. So this is such a wonderful circumstance we find ourselves in. The age of Kali has so many unfortunate circumstances and unfortunate conditions, and it's very difficult. Yet, the process of going back to home, back to Godhead, is very, very simple in this age. And by diligently following that, by diligently taking shelter at the lotus feet of a spiritual master, and by diligently executing his instructions, we have the opportunity to go back to home, back to Godhead. These verses, these purports from Prabhupada's books, they're clear indications that this particular form of Hiranyagarbha is not the ultimate destination of a devotee. So this might bring us to ask, but it's a form of the Lord. But there is, according to what we're reading here, there is a hierarchy, so to speak, of the significance and ultimate importance of the various forms of the Lord. The universal form is a form of the Lord, but this is not a form that's going to take us back to him, back to God. So this is the importance of having these Bhaktivedanta purports. They give us the tool, they give us the ability to properly understand these complex subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas. Bhagavat Purana, it's the topmost. And to understand its instruction requires the shelter of a spiritual master. And we are so fortunate that such an advanced, amazing personality as Srila Prabhupada has given us these Bhaktivedanta purports, put all of his life's energy into them, simply for helping us advance on the path of devotional service. Therefore, regardless of what the subject is, we should know that it's significantly important to us. So this particular form of the Lord's expansion, he's noted as entering into each universe and expanding in those universes as the thousand-legged, armed-mouthed, and heads of the universal form for that universe. This indicates that every universe has a universal form, and that this universal form is an expansion of Hiranyagarbha. Now, if we've already understood that Hiranyagarbha, by his position, is not the ultimate goal, then that which he expands off the universal form can also be understood not to be the ultimate goal. This is shown in the Gita here again, when Arjuna is given this universal form and he desires to see it, and Krishna reveals it to him, then he says, oh, this is a little much. Can I see that two-handed form playing the flute? He goes back to that form. So this is a very important principle to understand, where this universal form comes from and how it's in each universe, but how it is not our goal. Now, that's just the first verse. In the second verse today, the verse itself and Prabhupada's purport use the phrase great philosophers. We can understand this is not indicating the so-called great philosophers of this material realm. If we do a little bit of research and study, we're not talking about philosophers such as Plato or Aristotle or Socrates or Pythagoras or Epicurus. There's a whole list of others. It's interesting that our modern school of thought, almost exclusively when we speak of great philosophers, mentions those of the Greek thinkers and the Greek philosophers. And this is who they refer to as ancient philosophers. But you have to specifically inquire about ancient Indian philosophers before you see the names of those that we're familiar with. Vyasadeva, Valmiki, Maitreya, Augusta, and so on. Personalities we all know and personalities we respect in the field of knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't see that Plato or Aristotle or Socrates have given a commentary on Bhagavad Purana. We see that they have given numerous commentaries on their endless speculations, but they have not given commentaries on the Vedanta. Therefore, we look to great philosophers and personalities, such as Vyas, Valmiki, Maitreya, etc. like this. So now, anyway, in this purport and verse, Prabhupada mentions great philosophers engage in kalpayanti, or they imagine that all the planetary systems to be a part of the universal form of the Lord. So this word is significant, kalpayanti. Prabhupada specifically, out of that entire verse, four lines of Sanskrit, Prabhupada singles out this particular word when describing what these great philosophers do, is they imagine. And Prabhupada, in this verse, in the purport, he breaks down where this universal form, where the different planets in the universal form lie, mentioning the 14 planetary systems, seven of them, the upper planetary systems above the waist of the universal form, and seven of them, the lower planetary systems below the waist of the universal form. This positioning in the universal form is significant, just like as a practical point. Many persons who receive devotional tattoos, they don't do anything below the waist, because below the waist is not considered respectable. This is where the genital, the anus, the feet, these different things like this. Now those that aren't so familiar, they sometimes you see they put an om down on their ankle or something like that. Oh Prabhu, that's, you know, at any rate. So in the similar way, we understand from these 14 planetary systems that the upper planetary systems, upper, not only upper in the universal structure, but upper in the form of the universal form, in the body of the universal form, above the waist, because these are more elevated. And then the lower planetary systems, these are below the waist because they're more degraded. These are the hellish planets and other planets, the subterranean planets. These are all described in detail in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the purport, Prabhupada breaks this down, that it's significant like that. But, and Prabhupada inserts a very pointed and clear assertion here. The Virat, universal form of the Absolute, is an imagination of the speculative philosophers who were unable to adjust to the eternal two-handed form of Lord Sri Krishna. Now, use of the word assertion is my use in this class presentation, but I believe it's the exact correct word to use to describe Prabhupada's meaning in this, because the definition of assertion is a confident and forceful statement of fact or belief. So in this purport describing the universal form, and in this purport where the different locations of the various types of planets are noted, Prabhupada asserts a confident and forceful statement of fact that this form is there for those who were unable to adjust to the eternal two-handed form of Lord Sri Krishna. They do not have the ability to comprehend that. In one of the study groups, on one of the online study groups I participate in, we commonly chuckle or have a laugh at trying to explain to the common man that God is a blue cowherd boy. It's just something that's just off the charts for the majority of people in this material existence. But this is the reality of our identity. Our identity, our eternal sarup, our nitya sarup is not with the universal form. It's not with Hiranyagarbha. It's with the two-handed form of Lord Krishna. Whether it's with him playing a flute with the cowherd girls, whether it's with him playing a flute and enjoying in the forest with the boys, whether it's with him playing a flute and the cows and the deer and all are listening. In this way, everyone has a relationship with Krishna's flute playing in some manner or another. This is one of the amazing things about Govardhan Hill. In Krishna's leelas, different places have significant pastimes. Nandagram. The pastimes in Nandagram are vatsalya. They're particularly the parental mood. Other places in areas where the rasa dance take place, these are particular madhurya. Yet when you go to Govardhan Hill, all of these different moods have the ability to manifest in one place. You see that there is a relationship with Krishna and the gopis taking place at Govardhan Hill. You see that there is a relationship with Krishna and the cowherd boys taking place on Govardhan Hill. You see that there was a relationship with Krishna and his elders, Nanda Maharaj and the elder cowherd men at Govardhan Hill. You see that there is a relationship with Krishna and his cows and the deers and so on like this. So in this way, this is a very special quality of Govardhan Hill, that all the different pastimes can manifest in this place. So this is an important point to Prabhupada puts in this second verse, the purport to the second verse. Yes, the universal form is there. Yes, it's important. Yes, we understand it. But it is only to satisfy those who are not able to appreciate the two-handed form of Krishna. Confident and forceful, Prabhupada makes this point. The two-handed form of the Lord is superior, and it is a defect if we don't understand this point. Prabhupada says it right there in this, who are unable to adjust. If you're described by someone and he's just unable to adjust to things, he's unable to adjust to the circumstance, he's unable to adjust to the information, whatever, this is an indication that there's something lacking. So if we are unable to adjust to the understanding of the eternal two-handed form of Krishna, it is a defect on our part. So Prabhupada's pointing that out. A very significant point in this second purport. And then in our final verse today, Prabhupada in the purport, he connects a point that is crucial to the universal form and to the verses from a text widely known for glorifying the universal form, namely the Purusha Shukta. This Purusha Shukta, each of the verses in the Purusha Shukta glorify different aspects of the universal form, and they're used in various types of worship. When one is engaged in offering different articles to the Lord, all the upacharas, there's a different verse from Purusha Shukta for each upachara. Yeah. So the understanding of the divisions of the understanding of divisions of society, they're indicated in this Purusha Shukta, and they're coming from understanding the overall universal form of the Lord. As this third verse says, Purushasya mukam brahma kshatram etasya bahava uvar vaishya bhagavata padyam sudra vijayata. The brahmanas represent the mouth of the universal form. The kshatriyas represent the universal form's arms. The vaishyas represent the universal form's thighs. And the sudras are born from the legs of the universal form. So each caste in society has a direct connection with the Lord. Each are equally important, and all have required and necessary functions. There is a perverted modern-day division of castes and society. It's based on the false understanding that someone is better or someone is more important than another person, and those that are not as important should be shunned or cast off. This is not a holistic, comprehensive understanding of the inner workings of the social orders together as explained in this universal form. If that were so, then the various ports of the universal form wouldn't be necessary. If indeed only Brahmins were important in society and the Sudras should be just cast off and rejected and not giving any facility or protection, then we wouldn't see them noted in the universal form. In this verse, we see that each of the orders of society are a part of the universal form, working together for the benefit of the entire society. We don't see this type of divisional rejection presented in this explanation. Now, there's notation here, starting with the divisions it gives. The notation of the brahmanas representing the mouth is very, very clearly explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, particularly the third canto, chapter 16, and specifically in this verse number 8. Krishna says, I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrificers in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the brahmanas who have dedicated to me the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. The devotee of the Lord, or the Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the devotee of the Lord, or the Vaishnava, does not take anything without offering it to the Lord. Since a Vaishnava dedicates all the results of his activities to the Lord, he does not taste anything edible which is not first offered to the Lord. The Lord also relishes giving to the Vaishnava's mouth all edibles offered to him. It is clear from this verse that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and through the brahmana's mouth. Prabhupada continues. So many articles, grains, ghee, etc., are offered in the sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. The Lord accepts sacrificial offerings from the brahmanas and the devotees, and elsewhere it is stated that whatever is given for the brahmana or Vaishnava to eat is also accepted by the Lord. But here it is said that he accepts the offerings to the mouths of the brahmanas and Vaishnavas with even greater relish. The best example of this can be found in Advaita Prabhu in his dealings with Haridas Thakur. Even though Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, Advaita Prabhu offered him the first dish of prasad after the performance of the sacred fire ceremony. Haridas Thakur informed him, no, I am born in a Mohammedan family. And he asked Advaita Chari, why are you making this first offering to me instead of some elevated Brahmin? Out of his humility, Haridas condemned himself as being from a Mohammedan birth. But Advaita Prabhu, being an experienced devotee, accepted him as a real Brahmana. Advaita Prabhu asserted that by offering the first prasad to Haridas Thakur, he was getting the result of feeding 100,000 Brahmanas. The conclusion is that if one can feed a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, it is better than performing hundreds of thousands of sacrifices. In this age, therefore, it is recommended that the Harinam, chanting of the holy name of God, and pleasing the Vaishnavas are the only means to elevate oneself to spiritual life. Two very important activities recommended for this age, the practice of Harinam and the practice of serving the Vaishnavas. Very, very important. Now, if I had more time and less verses to cover than I had today, this particular topic of satisfying the brahmanas in this method in this third canto is very, very elaborately explained. And I could pursue it much broader as this section of the Bhagavatam does. Well, suffice it to say that anybody that wants to drop glove jimmins by my house, you're more than welcome to. Just feel free to do so. But we'll move on to the next section here. Now, Kshatriyas are noted here as the arms of the universal form. Now, there's great detail and explanation of the purpose and activities of the Kshatriyas in the Gita itself, because the conversation is, of course, between Krishna and Arjuna, who has his duties as a Kshatriya and is trying to neglect these duties. So this is very central to the entire instruction of Bhagavad Gita. There's also, however, details noted in the Srimad Bhagavatam on this subject, particularly in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, where it says, the duty of a Kshatriya is to give protection to the citizens and to levy taxes upon those citizens. He is forbidden to tax the Brahmanas, however. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement should therefore be exempt from government taxation. Kshatriyas may tax everyone except the Brahmanas. This is an interesting point because Prabhupada says elsewhere that the tax rate was 25%. Now, we might think, 25%? But Prabhupada continues, and then there were no other taxes. No excise tax, no sales tax, no gas tax, no property tax, no this tax, that tax, and the other. If you add all those taxes up, the tax rate's probably 70%. When Prabhupada says 25% and that's it. And if a man made no profit, then there was no tax. Not like multi-billion dollar organizations that somehow or another fudge their books in such a way that, oh, we made no profit, therefore we don't have to pay any taxes. But legitimately, this is the duty of the Kshatriya, collect the taxes and take care of the citizens. Prabhupada continues elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, the seventh canto. The kings also kept a large quantity of food grains in stock, and whenever there was a scarcity of grains, they would distribute these grains in charity. The Kshatriya's duty is to give charity to the general population. Prabhupada continues. The proper duty of the royal order, the Kshatriyas, is the engagement in protecting the citizens. It is the duty of the Kshatriya kings to keep even the forest in a peaceful condition for living. So even within the forest where there may not be civilizations, just, you know, some hermitages, we saw this in the pastime of Lord Ram when the different Rakshasas were giving difficulty to the sages in the forest. They went to the king, please protect us. I'm sorry, you're out in the forest. I just take care of the city. If you're within the boundary walls, we'll take care of you. But other than that, you're on your own. No, that wasn't the way it was. And it is the duty, Prabhupada says here, of the kings to keep even the forest peaceful. So it's responsibility. And then we'll close with this final instruction on the activities of Kshatriyas from Srila Prabhupada. The Kshatriya's duties are to give protection to the citizens, to give all his possessions in charity, to be strictly Vedic in the management of state affairs, and to be unafraid to fight whenever there is an attack by the enemies. In this way, a Kshatriya will satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his occupational duties. So, very, very clear. Not just the Brahmins have access to the Lord. If a Kshatriya is properly executing his duties, taking care of the citizen, managing in a religious, Krishna conscious manner, then he also will please the Lord by his activities. Now, so far as the Vaishyas are concerned, the Phis of the universal form, I mean, we could spend several classes speaking about Prabhupada's quotes on this subject, particularly the responsibilities of Vaishyas, but we've picked a few select ones here. The Vaishyas, the members of the mercantile communities, are especially advised to protect the cows. Cow protection means increasing the milk production, namely curds and butter. Agriculture and distribution of foodstuffs are the primary duties of the Vaishya mercantile community, backed by an education in Vedic knowledge and training in giving in charity. So four very important points, not only protecting the cows, but agriculture, distributing foodstuffs, and being trained in Vedic knowledge and giving charity. Prabhupada continues. The duties of the Vaishyas, who are engaged in Vishya, as stated as cow protection, agriculture, and business. We have already discussed that the human being can safely depend on the cow and agricultural land for all of their livelihood. So agriculture, cow protection, and business, these are the activities of the Vaishyas. And Prabhupada continues. The occupational duties of the Vaishyas are conceived into four divisions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending, banking. Therefore, it is the duty of the Vaishyas to produce grains. And as I say, we could go on and on and on. Prabhupada makes, I mean, there were more listings in the Vanapedia of Prabhupada's statements on this subject, which is about anything else you can find. But I think this is very, very significant. What are the occupations of the vice chief? Someone can say. Not only cow protection, that is a significant one, but also commerce, farming, and money lending, banking. These are the activities of the vice chiefs. And then finally, regarding the sudras, the legs of the universal form, it should be clearly understood they're required, essential, and a vital part of the social body. Falsely, some politicians and divisive speaking persons try to elevate their own status by their birth, but in reality, they're no better than sudras by their activities. The higher caste is not defined by one's birth, but by one's activities. Prabhupada speaks very strongly on this. He rails in this point, such as right here. He says, similarly, duties are given by the Supreme. Because I see that you are a sudra, you cannot discharge the duties of a brahmana, I give you those types of duties. So your duty is like that. Superficially, it may seem that a sudra's duty is inferior to a brahmana's duty, but if the sudra is performing his duty in accordance with the order of the Supreme, then he is also serving the Supreme. Why not? The service is the main point. The same example of our body. It is the duty of the eyes, seeing. It is a different duty of the legs, walking. But walking and seeing, both of them are being utilized for the whole body, and therefore, all of them are useful. So there cannot be any fixed up duty. Neither is everyone able to follow the same principles. Everyone is individual in their duty. So what are these duties that Prabhupada's referring to? Well, he continues. It is the duty of the sudras to offer respect to the higher class for the upkeep of social order. Sokyam means cleanliness, not only in mind and body, but in one's dealings also. It is especially meant for the mercantile people who should not deal in black market activities. Nati manita, not expecting honor, this applies to the sudras, the working class, which are considered, according to Vedic injunctions, the lower of the four classes. They should not be puffed up with unnecessary prestige of honor and should remain in their own status. It is the duty of sudras to offer respect to the higher group and thus keep up the social order. And Prabhupada continues here again. Sudra means ordinary worker, one who is satisfied when they have a competent master. This is actually a very easy and very simple life so far as responsibilities for the whole of society. The brahmanas have so much study to do, so much engagement to do. The kshatriyas have so much managerial responsibility for everything. The vaishyas have so much business activity. Actually, the life of a sudra is very simple. Just give some service. So if this is done perfectly, and if they're given proper protection, then a very simple life. Anyway, I feel as we close on this point that it would be interesting to note the very final statement in this purport. For anybody that has attended any of our homas here, you'll recognize the last line of the purport as the 13th verse of the Purusha Shukta. And that 13th verse, the Sanskrit is a bit different, but the translation is practically exactly the same as today's verse. Brahmanasya mukadasit bahuvarajanya kutaha uru tadyasya vaisyasya padyagam sudra ajayata. From his face, from the face of the universal form of the mouth, come the brahmanas. From the universal form's two arms come the rajanya, the vaisya, the kshatriyas, excuse me. From his thighs come the vaishyas, and from his two feet come the sudras. So this is a very significant verse from the Purusha Shukta that ties in with this chapter, section of this chapter describing the universal form. And it gives us a very clear understanding of the multifaceted aspects of this. So we've tried to take these three verses today and give some different points there. We're kind of right at the time, so we'll finish there. If any of the four people sitting in the room have a question? Ragatmika, please go ahead.
As long as Ragatmika is here, one person.
And the 1,000 people listening online, yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. It seems that Lord Chaitanya did not consider it a defect when Murari Guputta was not able to adapt to seeing Krishna as his Istadev. And it was, did not see it as a defect. You had said that if we, for those, well, I think it was a verse that can't adapt to seeing the two-handed form of Krishna and worshiping, that this would be a, this is a defect.
Well, so. I wasn't saying it was Prabhupada's direct statement, but the fact of the matter is that Ramchandra is the two-handed form of Krishna.
Yeah. Okay. What's Hiranyagarbha form?
Hiranyagarbha form is the expansion from Mahavishnu that then the expansions of Brahma and all the different patriarchs of society and that planets, that they all come from him. You know, as I was speaking through these different topics today and I looked up and I didn't see Stita Damuni, I said, if he were here, he's going to have a handful of points. And about halfway through the class, Stita Damuni came in, so let the fun begin.
Well, so I come in, right, and there's nobody here, right? So I'm wondering, I'm listening to the class, does that mean we need more Kshatriyas or aren't afraid of rumors of rain?
Well, it means that we just need more Kshatriyas to be sure that the internet is always working. Because, especially in weather conditions like today, the majority of our people are sitting safely at home listening online, which makes life a little bit easier. So, we'll finish there today. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Vrindavan ki jai.